A good icy morning to you. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 11th. Lots of winter weather advisories and winter storm warnings posted for much of the southern part of the state this morning for ice and freezing rain and sleet and snow, so please take it easy if you need to be on the roads today. We will talk this hour about a bill in the state legislature proposed by Democratic State Senator Dave Hansen of Green Bay. It would require all school boards in the state to incorporate the history of organized labor into its curriculum. Is this a good idea? We will hear first from a supporter of the legislation and then an opponent after 6:30, and we hope to hear from you, too, with your questions and comments for both of our guests. Call in with your thoughts on this bill. Should the history of labor be taught in Wisconsin public schools? Should there be a state mandate to require this? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our first guest says yes. He is Ken Germanson, president of the Wisconsin Labor History Society and a retired union official. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for being with us.
Well, glad to be here and glad I could call from my home rather than brave all of the ice out there.
Yeah, I'm glad that you could join us and not have to be on the roads. Why do you support this bill?
Well, first of all, it's the teaching of labor history and collective bargaining, which is the other part of this bill in there, have been sadly neglected. And children are really missing out on a significant portion of their own history and what helped to make this country as it is and to have developed such a good economic standard of living for, you know, most of us.
Yeah. So how do you know, or why do you say that this subject has been sadly neglected?
Well, I think if you look at some anecdotal stuff, for instance, I go out and you know, meet with kids. I do Boy Scout, you know, classes on this for their labor merit badge. And when we ask them to, if they have ever heard of Samuel Gompers, who founded the AFL, or of Eugene Debs, or of Walter Reuther or John L. Lewis, they don't know about them, but they do know about J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller, and people like Britney Spears.
Yeah, it's important to know about that. Why is it important that we know about Samuel Gompers and the rest of these?
Well, I think, you know, more importantly, it is important that we do know about created the economic system that we now have. And it was because of the struggles of working people who had their leaders such as Samuel Gompers. Gompers by himself is not important. What is important are the people behind it and the very interesting struggles that, you know, went on.
Yeah. What about the argument that is made that this is a decision that needs to be made at the local school board level, not coming from a state mandate?
Well, I think it is being left to the local school boards. All we're seeing in this bill is that labor history and collective bargaining have to be taught in somewhere in the curriculum. I mean, the fact of the matter is that when you go back to the various points in our U.S. history, the Industrial Revolution, they don't talk about the Haymarket Riot, for instance, or our own Bayview Massacre, which was all part of the 8-hour day movement. And, you know, now we take the 8-hour day for granted, but we don't know about the struggles that really went into campaigning for it.
We are talking with Ken Germanson, president of the Wisconsin Labor History Society, about a bill in the state legislature that would require the teaching of labor history and the collective bargaining process in our public schools. He supports this bill. Do you? Why or why not? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 16 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 11th. Coming up after 6:30, we will get another perspective on this bill in the state legislature that would require school boards, would require schools across Wisconsin to incorporate the instruction of labor history and the collective bargaining process in the local curriculums. What do you think of this idea? This bill proposed by Democratic State Senator Dave Hansen of Green Bay. We're talking with a guest right now who supports the bill. We will talk with a guest after 6:30 who does not, and we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest, Ken Germanson, president of the Wisconsin Labor History Society and a retired union official. We will be talking with John Ashley, the executive director of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, after 6:30. And Mr. Germanson, John Ashley says that he's not against educating students about labor history. He's just against this legislation. There's nothing preventing it to be taught right now. But to legislate it oversteps the role of the legislature. So you want to talk a little bit more about that, address that argument?
Well, yeah, I do, because, first of all, this is not a special interest, which we're often, tainted with. I mean, at its height during the 30s and 40s and 50s, close to 50% of Wisconsin workers were, of course, union members. The fathers and grandfathers of most of the kids in the schools and grandmothers and, mothers were union members, were part of the whole history of that. So it is important that, this part of it be taught. And they are already, teaching it to some extent. But there are some school districts and some areas where there's still kind of a stigma against teaching labor, part of it being because some of the teachers are of course union members themselves, and in some areas it is not popular to have somebody talking about it. Mm-hmm. Now we're not talking about them proselytizing on behalf of labor. We're talking about teaching the various histories, the struggles, the warts, as well as the other things.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Our lines are filling up now. Victor in Milwaukee is with us first. Hi, Victor.
Oh, Joy. Good morning to your guests. One of my concerns about this is, it's interesting history, but I have reservations about it or supporting it because how relevant are unions today? Because the union membership and support has dropped significantly. One, you're in a global economy right now, and my more concern is, students learning science and math and oral communication and written communication skills, which is more applicable to the world to make them competitive. My question is, how relevant would this really be? Because this is like history now, but how would a student, use that knowledge for now?
Well, Victor, you do make a good point. And, part of the relevancy is that the history of labor shows how ordinary people band together to resolve issues, to create change. And I think that's the lesson here. And we wouldn't have the 8-hour day, vacations, holidays, health insurance, some of it, leaving us now, without the work and the struggles of working people before us. The civil rights movement and the passage of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act could not have happened without the strong support of organized, labor. Yeah. So it is a very relevant topic.
What about this might take away from, math and science and some of these core subjects?
Well, I don't think it will, first of all. We're not saying, put in 14 hours a week on labor. We're saying put it into the curriculum where it is relevant. such as in the teaching of, you know, history and the social sciences. And, you know, there are classes on science that talk about, you know, applying worker safety and health issues into the curriculum, because those are very relevant things, and it makes the teaching of science more relevant.
Yeah. Does this bill go so far as to say it? There needs to be this much time spent on this in these grades?
No. All it says is knowledge of state, national, and world history, which is the current standard, adds the word including knowledge of the history of organized labor in America and the collective bargaining process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically going to leave up to the local districts how they put it in. There are lots of materials out there which won't cost anything more. And it's drawing attention and supporting the idea that this is a worthy subject.
Thank you, Victor. George in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, George.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm in favor of it. I think that it's about time that students, that there be some assurance that students are going to be given this information during their education. You know, in the 1950s and before the 60s, there was not very much in history books or social science books on civil rights, on minorities, on women's rights. And to some extent, that has been rectified. I don't think it's true in terms of the labor movement, and I think it's overdue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, George, and, you know, we did a survey some time ago. We didn't, actually. Somebody else did. And it's about 14 years old, and I don't have that in front of me, but it was something like in the typical, you know, high school history books, there were two, three, or four paragraphs in an entire 400-page book. So it has been sadly lacking.
Thank you, George. Mark in Mineral Point is with us now. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I think this is a very good idea, and this kind of change is sorely needed. We have seen in the past where neglected parts of our history have been integrated through this kind of legislation. For example, the fact that the history of Native Americans and what happened to them in our history is now at least mandated to be included in the curriculum. And I think that you could say the very same thing for labor. The fact is that a lot of the most influential people in a society have really not wanted you know, labor to be a part of our history books because, you know, it's a part that's not in their class interest. So I think this is a very good idea, and I'm glad that that Senator Hansen is proposing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, because I couldn't say it any better myself.
We have an open line for you if you'd like to get in on this conversation with Ken Germanson, president of the Wisconsin Labor History Society, a retired union official, who supports a bill in the state legislature that would require that Wisconsin public schools incorporate instruction on the history of organized labor and the collective bargaining process. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Do you support this legislation or not? What questions do you have about this legislation? We welcome your input. We'll get a different perspective on this bill coming up after the news, after 6:30. We talked a little bit about the Wisconsin School Boards Association objecting to a state mandate along these lines, and often we hear unfunded state mandates because schools are struggling to do what schools are supposed to do as it is. You mentioned that this would not result in any sorts of additional costs for our local schools.
I really can't imagine that it would. You know, for instance, the Department of Public Instruction has put out a study guide on labor history as part of its standards some years ago, and it provides exercises for all grade levels. We have materials available. For most people, it'll be a matter of a teacher considering this in his or her curriculum. If they want to spend some more money for some more books, of course, that's certainly within their, you know, realm. We're not. I think the important thing in his here is to get the stigma off of teaching labor. You know, for in many areas, certainly not in my South Side area of Milwaukee, but in other areas, the teaching of labor history sometimes can raise hackles on the part of some parents. And we're not, as I said earlier, we're not saying that we have to sell unionism, but you have to recall that labor unions have been very critical to the development of our capitalistic system here. In fact, many will argue that the growth of unions during the 1930s helped to stem the growth of communism in this country, which was a very strong movement among working people during the Great Depression. And, you know, they don't teach that perhaps the single greatest, action of the New Deal was the passage of the Wagner Act, which gave workers the right to organize.
Yeah. The Wisconsin Education Association Council, the state's largest teachers union, is in favor of this proposal. President Mary Bell says the struggles of working men and women often get left out by teachers trying to cram in the required material. She says WEAC supports the bill because it would force schools to teach the history of labor if it's required. And she's, because it's not required, it's one that falls to the back burner.
I think, in that sense, I think she is correct. I mean, and we don't want to burden the teachers anymore. And part of this, I think, is that it brings real-life people into the classroom. We have a labor history essay contest every year, and high school students write their labor histories, and we ask them to ask their grandparents and parents and so forth, or neighbors, about their experiences in the workplace. And we find a young Hmong senior up in Wausau stating that her father's job was saved by the union because he was discriminated against. We see the same story from a black student here in Milwaukee. So we see these very real-life stories coming out. And when you talk about real-life people, that makes history live and kids get involved. So I think it helps the education process.
An email from Kurt in Westby who says, when something is important to teach, it should be written into the state standards, not legislated. I guess he means some state education standards from
DPI. There are standards, and they're real general about the teaching of, whether or not you get specific on labor history. As I said, we did work with DPI 7-8 years ago to put together this curriculum, which is available either through us or through DPI. And, we would encourage, school districts and individual teachers to look it up.
Well, we're out of time for this half hour. Maybe we should have you back and do a program on labor history.
Well, I would love that, frankly. There is a lot to tell.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Ken Germanson, president of the Wisconsin Labor History Society, a retired union official, telling us why he supports a bill in the state legislature that would require the teaching of labor history and collective bargaining in Wisconsin public schools. We'll get a different perspective on this legislation coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's 6:36. On this Tuesday, December the 11th, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking this hour about state legislation that would require school boards in Wisconsin to incorporate education on the history of organized labor and the collective bargaining process in their curriculum. Supporters, like our previous guest in the last half hour, say the history of organized labor is an important piece of the history of the United States and that it is sorely neglected in our public schools. And when schools teach about business leaders and industrialists, they should also teach about the labor movement and labor leaders. We will hear from a guest in this half hour who says he's not against teaching labor history, but he's against a state mandate from the legislature requiring it. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think of this bill proposed by State Senator Dave Hansen of Green Bay that would mandate the teaching of Wisconsin labor history in our public schools? Is this a good idea or not? Why or why not? We will also welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, John Ashley, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So why don't you like this bill in the state legislature?
Well, I don't believe that the labor movement is ignored in Wisconsin's public school curriculum. But even if more could be done, Senate Bill 108 is the wrong approach. We don't need curriculum changes in our state statutes. I guess I have more confidence in Wisconsin school board members, their administrators and teachers, who, by the way, are members of unions, to create the proper social studies curriculum for our students. And the Department of Public Instruction already has content standards in social studies that deal with areas like economics, including production, distribution, exchange, and consumption. And we have standards there already that deal with some of the specifics. And I think that Ken Jermanson earlier really was making the case for what's happening in the schools now. Could more be done? Probably so. But we're just concerned that going the route of having the legislature dictate curriculum changes is not what the state wants.
Yeah. What do you make of his, he said it was anecdotal, but when he works with Boy Scouts and other groups, these kids have never heard of Samuel Gompers and these various other labor leaders and other important events in the labor movement.
Well, certainly that's discouraging, but again, he was referencing anecdotal information. I'm convinced that what we do now in our state has worked well, as shown by Wisconsin students' performance on national tests such as the ACT and the SAT. We really do have standards that address history and include things like the labor movement. There are also standards that students must explain the significance of national and state holidays, and that would include Labor Day.
Yeah. Then what do you make of we ex-president saying that the struggles of working men and women often get left out by teachers who are trying to cram in other required material, and if this were required, then there'd be, you know, they would teach it?
Well, I think that what she's pointing to is that we're asking a lot of our teachers, and I think that having standards that are more general allows our teachers to be more adept at providing the type of education that they want for their particular students. I'm just uncomfortable with the idea that state legislators are going to be able to tell us what we should be teaching in our classrooms. Classroom teachers need a much more nimble process where they're able to decide what's appropriate for their classroom. For example, immigration is a big issue right now. Now, would we be looking to the legislature to tell teachers that that's something they should be covering? I think that looking to the Department of Public Instruction to create our standards is a much better approach than putting things into the state statutes.
Yeah. Has there been any other precedent where the state legislature said, hey, schools, you're not teaching this and you should?
I think that the example that might come to mind is the need to teach Native American and tribal and sovereignty rights, which came through the legislature. But other than that, I think that there's a resistance generally to the idea of having legislators dictate what we're teaching in our local classrooms. If you believe in public education, which I think most people in Wisconsin do, you have to have faith that the local community working with their teachers and school boards are the best, are best suited to making decisions around curriculum, not the legislature in Madison.
Yeah. Just pressing on that, though, a little bit, if the legislature, you know, from constituents and others is getting the sense that a particular subject is getting the short shrift, what's so wrong with proposing a bill to try to rectify that?
If you believe in the public education process, which is decisions being made at the local level closest to the students that are going to be affected, One would hope that people that have concerns would come before the local school board and the administration and the faculty mm-hmm. and say, look, this is what we want for our kids. It's a much more democratic process. Certainly we can look across the world and find countries in which they don't have that local control and the decisions are made pretty centrally. And I think that what we have in Wisconsin has served us well. The idea of curriculum changes coming from the state legislature simply makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. John in Oshkosh joins us. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I agree with the speaker that many people are uncomfortable with the legislature, but how you know the fact is it's not being done very much. And I'd like to remind everyone that you know every part of education is political. I mean, what we teach, how we teach, what slice of history we teach is political, and if we didn't do anything, it probably won't be taught because it hasn't. I mean, we're living in a world now where most of us are probably wearing clothes that are made in some sweatshop somewhere, and you know, there's a reason why we've largely eliminated many of those things from our country, and it comes from labor and the power of working people demanding better things. This didn't come from the, you know, the corporate owners saying, we want better conditions for our workers. And so when you have conservative school boards and conservative communities and an unwillingness to even say the word union in a public school, I think it's important that something be done.
Yeah. Well, what about that, John Ashley?
Well, I think the caller is right that education is political. I guess I would disagree that in Wisconsin that you can't mention the word union when you think about the history of our state. The unions have played a significant role. It's impossible to teach Wisconsin history, which was required in the fourth grade, without talking about the role of labor in Wisconsin. So again, I think that people might have a personal opinion about what they think might be being taught, but I have a lot more faith in our history teachers in Wisconsin to understand that they are, in fact, doing a really good job, and they don't need the legislature to mandate that they cover a particular topic in regards to collective bargaining or negotiation.
Yeah, I suppose it's one thing to have faith in our history teachers in Wisconsin, but do you know for sure if most history teachers are indeed incorporating this labor history information in their history courses?
Joy, the way I would approach it is, ask the question, are they meeting the standards that the Department of Public Instruction has put out? And it's very clear that there are requirements there that they talk about unions. And if they're not doing that, they're not doing their job.
Yeah.
So I think that when you look at the Department of Public Instruction's social studies standards, and again, it's a little bit complex and mundane, but there are many, many standards, and if you go through them and if the public takes a look at them, you'll see that the department has done a great job of saying these are areas that we want our students to know. Do they specifically mention the particulars that we're discussing? Perhaps not, but again, I think it's up to our history teachers to integrate some of that information. We have wonderful classroom resources that are available. I think that Ken Germanson was talking about the Lessons in Labor History, which is a collaboration of the state AFL-CIO, Federation of Teachers, the National Education Association, Wisconsin Labor History Society, and Department of Public Instruction, which is available for Wisconsin schools and is used in our schools.
Our guest is John Ashley. He's Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, talking with us about a bill in the state legislature that would require all school boards in Wisconsin to incorporate the teaching of labor history and the history of the collective bargaining process into the curriculum at the various public school districts. He does not support this bill. He says he's not against educating students about labor history, but he's against the state legislature mandating it. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's about 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 11th. Coming up after 7, we will welcome in a presidential candidate. That's right. A presidential candidate, but not a Republican and not a Democrat. A Green Party candidate for president. She is a former U.S. Democratic representative. Cynthia McKinney, well, she's planning on running for the Green Party nomination for president, and she is scheduled to be speaking in Madison and Milwaukee today. We'll have her as our guest coming up after 7 o'clock, and you can call in with your questions for her. A Green Party candidate for president coming up in our next hour. For the rest of this hour, we are talking with the executive director of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, John Ashley, about a bill in the state legislature that would require local school boards to incorporate the teaching of history of labor unions in the local public schools in Wisconsin. Says the legislature should not be mandating a decision like this, and we wonder if you agree or not, or what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Says there's really not a need for this, that schools in Wisconsin are already teaching about this. Fred in Cascade is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess I have grave concerns about the union movement not being taught in public schools, just as the Great Wars are rarely taught anymore. As a person that spent over 30 years in the union, much of those years I was a union representative, and now I work for myself. I've seen both sides of the fence. Management wages in factories, the largest factories in Wisconsin and most other factories, were basically controlled by union wages, even if the people weren't in the union. Factories that weren't union at all were forced to match those wages if they needed employees, you know, or at least come close. And I can't understand the thought process that we should be able to go to our school board electives and express our thoughts about labor movement education when, in the very near future, the people on the school board may very well have not been born in the United States or have any knowledge whatsoever about what labor unions have done.
Yeah, and you think teaching the history of labor will keep the labor movement strong, Fred?
Well, I think it will help the labor movement and justify the labor movement, but I also think that all the new immigrants coming into the United States need to understand what happened, what took place in this country to make it the way it is,
yeah,
and to give the standard of living to the people that are here and the freedom to walk the streets, read what they want, write what they want. You know, so many things came from labor unions that weren't necessarily tied to employment.
Yeah. John Ashley, you want to respond to that?
Well, I don't disagree with what Fred is saying. I think where we do disagree is how do we go about making sure that students in Wisconsin get that information. And again, I would go back to what we're expecting in terms of our standard. And I'm looking at a standard that I think really relates to what Fred's talking about. We're asking students to describe how past and present American political parties and interest groups have gained or lost influence on political decision-making and voting behavior. So if a student is going to be able to answer that question, they're certainly going to have an understanding of the role of unions. Now, it doesn't specifically say unions or labor there, mm-hmm. but in order for a student to answer that question, they would have to have that background. So I don't think Fred and I disagree. It's just that I feel that it's better to find those types of the information in the standards rather than going over to our state statutes. I mean, that's not what the statutes are about. And what we want our schools to be able to do is to be able to react to the needs of what our kids are going to need in the future when they're competing in a global economy. And the statutes are simply not the place to put those expectations.
Thank you very much, Fred, for the call. Mark in New Berlin. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I did study the labor union in MPS when I went to school in the 60s. I don't know what they're doing these days. But my comment would be, if this is going to be implemented, I think it would be great, but they should also include some of the negative unintended consequences of this were how many companies have left Wisconsin to go to non-union states first and then offshore, and why are people in this country willing to buy a shirt for a dollar less or a TV set for $25 less made in China than they would be one that was made in this country by Americans?
Yeah, so, well, so their union history should include negative and positive effects, John Ashley?
Well, I think good teachers are going to give all our students a perspective, and that's going to include positive and negative, and there's no issue that doesn't have both sides to it. So a good classroom teacher is going to make sure that students understand all the positives and the negatives.
Yeah, so our previous guest from the Wisconsin Labor History Society was saying things like, well, our students hear about it, the industrialists like J.P. Morgan and you know the industrialization of this country, but they're not getting the other side. You're disputing that.
Yeah, I am, because again, we could go back to the standards where our students are expected to talk about La Follette in the Progressive Era from 1874 to 1914. And you're going to look at issues like prosperity, depression, industrialization, and urbanization. There's simply no way that students can address those themes without understanding the role of unions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the public at large is probably not familiar with standards, but our history teachers are, and our school board members and our administrators are, and they're very interested in making sure that our kids have a thorough understanding of social studies.
Yeah. And the standards come from the Department of Public Instruction, not from the state legislature.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the DPI comes up with these educators and state employees and whatever, and they're constantly updated.
Absolutely. In fact, they're in the process now of revising some of Wisconsin's model academic standards.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark, for the call. Orville in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm listening to this gentleman, and the tone of his voice is extremely anti-government and anti-state. The people in the state legislature are elected by the people, and they represent the people, so there's no reason for them to say something that's against the people. Anyway, what I want to say is I have taken history courses recently, and what is happening is the textbooks are sanitizing the history of America. They're removing the parts about slavery and about the labor movement. And I just took a course recently, and there's almost nothing taught about slavery and about the labor movement, and that's the fact.
Well, you took a college course, Orville?
Technical college course.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what's happening in the elementary schools, but I know that what is happening is that textbooks are removing these parts of history from the books. And I also want to point out that many of the teachers are extremely conservative, and they don't want to teach the labor movement, and they don't want to teach slavery. And you can't leave it up to the teachers. And I listen to this man's tone, and he's in denial. The state legislature is elected by the people. They are not anti-people. Thank you.
Well, what about the state legislature, Dave Hansen is representing his constituents who apparently want this.
Well, I would disagree with Orville. I'm not against the state legislature. But and I think that's the role of legislators to respond to their constituency. I'm not exactly sure that I agree that things have been taken out of our history textbooks. I can't speak to what's happening in higher ed, but I can certainly say that's not the case in the K-12 textbooks.
Yeah. So in our final moments here, any thoughts on whether or not this particular bill is going to see more action in the state legislature?
It's hard to say, Joy. I think that the bottom line is that the public needs to understand that we have standards for helping us determine what's appropriate for students in Wisconsin to learn. Local school board members work with their communities and with the administration in their districts to come up with a curriculum that fits the needs of their students. The legislature's role is probably not one of making decisions for those school districts. And I just have a discomfort level with the idea that they're going to be telling us specifically what should be taught in the classrooms. I think most teachers prefer a much more general type of standard so that they can design and customize things to their own students.
Well, thanks to or blaming the weather forecast, it looks like a lot of school students and teachers will be getting a snow day today, especially in southern Wisconsin. Lots of schools are closed today, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure that the students are going to mind very much.
That's right. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
John Ashley, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, talking with us about this bill in the state legislature that would mandate the teaching of the labor movement and the history of labor in Wisconsin public schools. We also heard from Ken Germanson, president of the Wisconsin Labor History Society, in our first half hour, who supports this bill. John Ashley, who does not. And that's right. You may know already, if you live in southern Wisconsin, that there's lots of bad weather out there, a wintry mix of ice and sleet and snow and freezing rain, and many schools in the southern portion of the state closing today due to the weather conditions. So if you haven't checked already, check that. And take it easy, too, if you need to be out and about. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.